Good morning. Come in. Come on in. Have a seat. We've been waiting for you, just as you are, right where you are, wherever you are in life's journey. Come in. Welcome to First Unitarian Church. I'm Angela Herrera, the senior minister here. I'm joined this morning by Associate Minister, the Reverend Bob LaValle, by lay leader Casey Spivey, by our volunteer DJ Chris Paul, and our wonderful team of tech volunteers. We are also reunited this morning with our Director of Religious Education, Mia Noren. Mia has been away on sabbatical for the last 2.5 months. Welcome back, Mia. And we are joined today by a special guest musician, Issa Noor. Issa is a native of New Mexico. He is an internationally recognized specialist in Middle Eastern, Arabic, and North African percussion. He was originally self-taught, but has gone on to perform nationally and internationally at venues as noteworthy as the Kennedy Center and the 2010 Winter Olympics in Vancouver, just to name a couple. That's not the whole list. We're really excited to have you with us this morning, Issa. Welcome. Welcome, everyone. It's good to be together. As we begin, Casey will share a few announcements.
Good morning, all. This month, children and youth return to their official roles as students and learners for the school year. Just as learning is the special job of our children and youth, it is important to all of us, for all of us, to do work that is important to us and to the world too. Sometimes in schools or in jobs, sometimes in homemaking and caregiving, sometimes in volunteer work. And so tonight, we will offer our annual backpack blessing, a ritual honoring this important part of our lives. People of all ages are invited to bring your backpack or other symbol of work to this drive-through, no-touch, celebratory blessing. It takes place in the church parking lot today between 6 and 7 p.m. Kids will also receive a charm for their backpacks or bags. Be sure to bring your masks. We'll all be wearing them and practicing physical distancing. If you don't have a car, a bicycle is fine too. We just ask that you stay on or in your ride as you enjoy the drive-through so we can all help keep each other healthy and safe. Next, instead of our annual Connections Sundays, this year we'll have Connections Week, a completely online celebration of all the ways we are connected, happening Sunday, August 30th through Sunday, September 6th. Each day that week, you will have the opportunity to log in and hear about 30 different church groups and sign up to get involved. Starting tomorrow, August 17th, you will be able to go to our website, click on a Connections Week icon, and register for the sessions you would like to attend. Join us. Finally, have you started joining us during services? Are you ready to meet more people and find out more about our community? Or are you a longtime member who would like to meet these new folks? Join our Director of Membership and Communications, Lara Magnuson, for a short new to first you chat after the service today at 12 p.m. The meeting ID and link to click on will be listed in the chat box at the end of the service. Thanks for listening.
Can you join me in the lighting of chalices and candles? We kindle our flames this morning with the words of Albert Schweitzer. At times, our own light goes out and is rekindled by a spark from another person. Each of us has cause to think with deep gratitude of those who have lighted the flame within us.
Good morning. I'm John Edwards, and I am here today representing the Leadership Succession Committee, or the LSC. The LSC's job is to find willing church members to serve on the standing committees of the congregation, which are required in our bylaws. Those standing committees are the Church Board of Directors, the Endowment Committee, and the Financial Review Committee. The board is the governing body of the church, while the Financial Review Committee reviews the church's financial health and procedures. And the Endowment Committee works to ensure that our endowment fund grows for future generations. Each year, we present a slate of candidates at the annual meeting, and terms of office start each January. And we want you to consider stepping up into a leadership position, not just because we need it, although that's a good reason, but because there's a lot in it for you. Like what, you ask? First, it's good for you. It's really good for you. Psychological studies show that relationships are the most important factor in our well-being, and despite all the life changes we've faced during this pandemic, the web of connection is still alive and well in our First Unitarian congregation. Serving is a great way to enhance your connections here, enhance your happiness, and enhance your wellness. Second, it will deepen your experience of this beloved community, expand your relationships, and enhance your sense of belonging. And I know this firsthand, because in 2007, I joined First Unitarian, and for the next 9 years, I mostly connected with the church just by attending services. In 2016, though, I got connected to Albuquerque Interfaith, and there I met Martha Cattell, who encouraged me to serve on the LSC, and I'm so grateful that she did so, because serving on the LSC has connected me more deeply to the community. It's really deepened my faith practice, and it's also been a tremendous source of joy, especially in what's been a really tough year. And in particular, it's also challenged me to more directly work to continually widen the circle of belonging here in our beloved community. The LSC will have an assigned meeting time for members to speak with committee members about the opportunities available, and we're going to do this via Zoom. Contact information for members of the LSC will also be available, and we hope that you'll consider joining our Zoom meeting time and or talking to one of our members about more information about serving. And if you don't feel called, that's okay, because we might just feel called to call on you. Thank you.
I'm Marla. I invite you to join me in Children's Affirmation. We are Unitarian Universalists. We are people of faith with open minds, loving hearts, and helping hands.
Hey there. Today we're going to read a book called Zoom by István Bagnyé. This book is all pictures, so I'll just show the pictures and maybe make a comment on them. All right, here we go. Here's the first one. Huh, what is that? Oh, wait, that's a rooster. Huh, and there are some kids watching the rooster. And they're in a farmhouse. Wait, their farmhouse is like a toy set. There's somebody playing with the toys. Wait, what's that hand doing up there? Wait, that's a magazine cover, and somebody's sleeping with it. Just hanging out in a deck chair. Oh, by a pool. Wait, that pool is on a ship. Wow, it's on a really big ship. Wait, that ship is an advertisement, huh? That advertisement is on a bus. It's a bus in the middle of a busy street. Wait, somebody's watching that bus on a television. There's a man sitting in the desert watching television. Wow. Wait, is that a stamp? An Arizona stamp? It's a stamp on a letter. The letter is being delivered. Oh, and the person who delivered the letter is leaving on a boat. Wait, there's somebody flying overhead looking at the boat leaving. They're flying above the island. They're high above the island. Wow, they're high above the islands. They're flying through the clouds. Wow, clouds of planet Earth. Way above planet Earth. Far away from planet Earth. And that's the end. You know, that book makes me think about how something can change when you get a different perspective on it. You'll be looking at something and wondering what it is one way, and then you'll get back a little bit or change your view of it, and it'll look like something very different. I wonder if any of you have ever changed your perspective on something when you changed the way you looked at it. I feel that way sometimes. Anyways, thanks for joining me.
Back here on this pretty planet, let's breathe. Let's prepare our bodies and minds for meditation. Centering yourself on your seat or whatever is supporting you right now. Breathing and seeing if you can let go of any tension in your body. Czeslaw Milosz says, "You ask me how to pray to someone who is not. All I know is that prayer constructs a velvet bridge, and walking it, we are aloft, as on a springboard, above landscapes the color of ripe gold." Prayer constructs a velvet bridge, and walking it, we are aloft above landscapes. He's talking about prayer changing our perception, like in the story we just saw. What seemed to be one thing turns out to be another. This is true in space as well as in time. Our lives unfold as stories within stories. And what feels at one time like a really big story turns out to have also been a plot point. A picture that takes up your whole frame becomes part of a different picture later. Some people call this a God's eye view. I wonder what larger story you are living today. And all of us together, what stories are we making? I invite you to join me on the velvet bridge as we continue with 2 minutes of silence.
our tender joys and felt concerns weave through our daily lives. Amidst this community, in the sharing of these expansions and contractions, our gratitude may be enriched and our burdens lessened. When the video begins, please share your joys and concerns in the chat bar that we may hold them together. If you are not able to write in the chat bar, we still wish to know what's on your heart. Send an email to caring@uuabq.org. Again, caring@uuabq.org. And let us know how you are. So now, take this moment to first share your joys, followed by your concerns.
Please join me in prayer. All these joys and gratitudes we lift up, and I lift up also Christine Hall, who is recovering from a successful surgery to remove cancer. We give thanks for her health and strength and her recovery. We hold her in our love. And I give thanks also for Bob's first year of ministry with us. What a big year it has been, and what a blessing to have him here ministering with us and to us. May our ministry together with Bob continue to grow and be fruitful in the months and years to come. All these joys and gratitudes we lift up, and all of these concerns and lamentations we lift up also. All these loved ones we lift up, we lift them all up to the great powers of celebration, healing and renewal, known by many names. And we acknowledge all that remains unspoken. We acknowledge the unspoken names and also the grief, struggles, worries, and stresses among us, the need for forgiveness, the need for healing and strength, the things we can say out loud and the things we are afraid to say. We hold it all. We lift it all up. We acknowledge all that we are and all that we bring. And we pray for peace in our world and in our country. We pray for wisdom and compassion to prevail. We pray for an end to violence, interpersonal, systemic, all of it, an end to all violence. We pray for the earth and for all of her creatures. We pray with our words, our hearts, our hands, our feet, our lives, and we give thanks. We give thanks for all that is healing and hopeful, for this caring community, for abundance in its many forms, and for joy. And we pray that we may make our lives a blessing upon others through our manner of being in this world. Amen. Peace be with you.
a reading from Spilling the Light by the Reverend Teresa Soto. Bring your broken hallelujah here. Bring the large one that is broken beyond repair. Bring the small one that's too soft to share. Bring your broken hallelujah here. I know that people have told you that before you can give, you have to get yourself together. They overstated the value of perfection by a lot. Or they forgot. You are the gift. We all bring some broken things, songs and dreams, and long lost hopes. But here together, we reach within. As a community, we begin again. And from the pieces, we will build something new. There is work that only you can do. We wait for you.
I was on campus a few months ago helping out with the fabulous folks who run the food pantry, and I ran into Reverend Christine Robinson. And for folks who are visiting, Reverend Christine was the minister here at First U for some 30 years. And so when she saw me, Christine asked me, how was my first year of ministry at First U going in the weirdest year that we've all seen? And she laughed. And that says a lot about my first year here in Albuquerque. For all of us, it's been a weird year. For me, it has been weird for sure, but also full of beauty and joy and so much learning. Folks may not be aware that although I am a middle-aged person, I'm a new minister. I was only ordained in 2018, and this is only the end of my second year of parish ministry. And as I've journeyed through this year, I've tried to stay true to the vows of my ordination in 2018. So if you've ever been to a UU ordination, you've seen that in the act of ordination, first the chair of the board of the ordaining congregation speaks, and then the minister speaks. And I want to share my vows now. And Casey will speak the words, Casey Spivey will speak the words of the chair of the board. Go ahead, Casey.
We, the members of the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Niagara, hereby ordain you, the Reverend Robert Edward LaValle, to the Unitarian Universalist ministry. Live into this call. May you minister from your whole self, heart and mind, body and spirit. May you always speak the truth as you know it, with courage and wisdom. Demonstrate grace, gentleness, and good humor. Celebrate the mystery and wonder of life. Share in the joys and sorrows of our human condition. Embody the living tradition of our faith. And above all, serve the world with compassion and love.
And in my ordination, I responded, "It is with joy and appreciation that I take up the ministry to which you ordain me. I vow to serve with a deep sense of obligation and opportunity, mindful of the privileges and responsibilities of ministry. I vow to always remember the most vulnerable among us, and work to make a more just and caring world. With profound gratitude for all who have walked before me and beside me, I will keep alive the meanings of this service." Now, the hoopla and ceremony around ordination is powerful and frankly very fun. There's a joke that goes that an ordination is like a wedding, but the minister gets to be the bride and there's no groom. I get all the attention. But it's important to remember this really central fact. Anything that a minister does in a congregation is co-ministry with the congregation. In my first year here, as I worked to keep alive the meanings of my ordination, everything I did was a collaboration with the people of First Unitarian. Together, we shared in the joys and sorrows of our human condition, whether in our religious education classes or our life rituals in the memorial garden. Together, we remembered the most vulnerable among us, whether in the food pantry or in the Change for the Future program or when we showed up at a rally. Together, we embodied the living tradition of our faith, whether through our work with Albuquerque Interfaith or Albuquerque Faith Works, or simply offering our space to the many worthy organizations that are working for justice. Nothing that I did alone. Even preaching is an act of sacred collaboration, where I hold the minds and hearts that make up this church as I choose my words. And I thank you all for this co-ministry that we weave every day. There is, however, one place where I am alone, where I alone am responsible. And that's where I made my mistakes. Coming to a big church in a new town has meant changing my understanding of how to be a minister. I'm incredibly grateful to Reverend Angela, who has frankly saved me from myself so many times. And I'm grateful to the staff and lay leaders who always support me in good faith. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. But I have struggled from time to time. For example, I want to own the fact that I haven't always been as responsive as I would like to be. If I was slow to get back to you over the phone or email, I apologize. And that's something I'll be working on. Thanks in advance for your patience. Being responsive is part of connecting. And one of the real costs of the pandemic is that it's harder to connect. We've lost something, and it's good to name it and mourn it. For example, like this church was supposed to host the Mountain Desert District Annual Assembly in May. And there are folks here who worked very hard to get that set up, and then we couldn't do it. And I'm keenly aware that my number one job here as a first-year minister in this congregation is simply connecting with the congregation. And that's been pretty significantly hindered. I think we're all feeling this, but we're also learning. And that's why I look to this next year with a lot of optimism. Yep, optimism. And here's why. We're getting the hang of doing church in this new time and new way. And we don't need to just tread water as a congregation for a year. We can move forward, living fully into our call as Unitarian Universalists. Specifically, my vision for this new year is that we will more deeply ingrain anti-racism into every facet of the life of this congregation. You know, along with the pandemic, we're also going through a profound moment of accountability for the ways that racism permeates our society. Even before George Floyd was murdered by the police, I was keenly feeling the call to do more. And I know that many members of this congregation feel that way too. I know that this congregation can build on the work that we've done and become a church that is not just multicultural, because we're already multicultural, but intercultural. So what does intercultural mean? I want to share a quote from the book Mistakes and Miracles by Nancy Palmer Jones and Karen Lynn. Intercultural describes communities in which there are deep understanding and respect for all cultures. Intercultural communication focuses on the mutual exchange of ideas and cultural norms and the development of deep relationships. In an intercultural society or church, no one is left unchanged because everyone learns from one another and grows together. It's a beautiful vision, and it's some big talk. When I preach at the end of September, I'll spell out what that might mean for this congregation and how we might get there. But I want to lay out a couple broad strokes now. First, we will work from the belief that racial justice work is faith formation. They are not separate things. We either do both well and together, or we do neither well. Second, we'll work from a set of shared values. Naturally, our seven principles will guide us, but this work is incredibly hard and messy, and it's a fact we're just gonna screw up once in a while. So we need to be clear about what values guide us. For example, one value might be that rather than work from our strengths, we'll work from our heartbreaks. It's in our heartbreaks that we find spiritual growth. And like I said, this work is faith formation. Finally, we need to acknowledge that this is a big church with folks in a lot of different places around this work. Some folks might not want us to go in this direction. Other folks may think we're going too slowly. Let me say two things. This effort will not be stopped. And this effort will not be rushed. We're going to do this together at the pace that fits where we are as a congregation. You probably know the saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. That's what we'll do. Let me end with some words from our reading. We all bring some broken things, songs and dreams and long lost hopes. But here, together, we reach within. As a community, we begin again. And from the pieces, we will build something new. That's my prayer for us, that we build something new together. Amen, and blessed be.
As of the beginning of this month, this quarter's Change for the Future recipient is Roadrunner Food Bank. A longtime partner of First Use Food Pantry, Roadrunner is the largest food bank in the state. They play a major role in distributing a variety of donated and purchased food items to people struggling to cover all their nutritional needs. You can make an offering online by clicking on the link that we'll put in the chat box or by sending a check to the church office. We will now take up the offering for the work of this church and the work of this church in the community.
What beautiful music today. Thank you, Isa.
You're so very welcome.
And what is generously given is received with gratitude. Thank you on behalf of the congregation and on behalf of Roadrunner Food Bank, our Change for the Future recipient this quarter. We are now drawing near to the end of this formal service. You are invited to our virtual coffee hour, where you can visit with others in a small group. And if you'd like to do that, just stay on this call right through the post, and that's when breakout rooms are automatically opened. To get your conversations going, either in coffee hour or maybe at home after the service, here is a discussion question for today. In his sermon, Bob said that racial justice work is faith formation work, but the two are not separate. Racial justice work is faith formation work. What are the qualities of a spiritually wise person that are needed for racial justice work? That's a discussion question for you. What qualities of a spiritually wise person are needed for racial justice work? And I'll post that question in the chat during the postlude as well. Let us now extinguish our chalices and candles with the words of Martha Kruby Capo. Our time together is finished, but our work is not done. May our spirits be renewed and our resolve strengthened as we meet the challenges of the week to come. This chalice flame is extinguished until we ignite it again with the spark of our compassion. May love bless you and keep you until we are gathered again. Go in peace. Amen.
Do when the spirit says do. You got to do when the spirit says do. Do 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 do. Do when the spirit says do.
Spirit says groove.
You gotta be grooving, you gotta be grooving.
You got to groove when the spirit says groove.
You have got to groove.
When the spirit says groove,
you've got to groove, oh Lord.
You've got to groove
got
when
to
the spirit
says groove, says groove.
Spirit says groove. Spirit says groove. Spirit says groove. Spirit says groove. Spirit says groove.
You've got to rock when the spirit says.
yeah. I had the car before I walk and now I do the 1-2 step. I heard the spirit and it said the groove, yeah. That's why I do my own shuffle, tapping feet, clapping hands. If you could talk, you could sing. If you could walk, you could dance. Spirit told me bust the track with the vocals, and I come around your city rocking with the locals. Fading out, got my eyes closed. I think the Lord talking to me, gotta get up all in my zone. Candle gazing after doing kundalini. I wrote it in my journal trying to find the true meaning. It ain't gonna happen overnight, I really ain't stressing. I'ma get the blessing, I don't need good with directions. I just follow spirit, I think I start to hear it. The elders talk about alignment, I just start to get near it. Walk along the path, with or without a clue. When the spirit says do, I make it do what it do. Come on.
You got to do when the spirit says do.
Oh yeah.
You got to do.
Y'all know what it's like when the spirit says do. I mean, you just gotta do what it do. I know right now, with some spirit talking to you inside, and it's telling you to do something, and whatever that is, go with it, alright? Spirit says do. Spirit says do. Spirit says do. And you know what? I'ma do what I do.